The Redskins, we talked about this yesterday, and in all seriousness, this is a name that has been riddled with controversy for the last 20 or so years. I mean, it goes back to when Jack Ken Cook owned the Redskins, and in 1999, I believe, the U.S. Patents Office had a ruling that said that the Redskins name was actually disparaging to Native Americans, yet they somehow managed to continue to fight it in court and keep the name. But now in this current climate where we have social reckoning on multiple levels, the name has come under so much scrutiny that the sponsors finally had to step in. And as you know, until the money's affected, nothing's going to happen. But now that FedEx has said, hey, you need to change your name, and they've given the Redskins $250 million, and then you've got the United States government, I can't remember if it was the state government or if it was local, who have a piece of land that the Redskins are going to develop their new stadium complex on, saying, you're not getting this land at this favored rate if you don't change your name. So what do you think of the situation? What are the odds? What are people saying in terms of what this name change may look like and how soon it may happen?
Well, I think to rebrand the identity of a franchise is going to take a period of anywhere from half a year to 2 years. They're going to have to change the name before the beginning of the season. There's absolutely no way the Washington football team can wear the Redskins insignia, especially in these times for the 2020 season. So they may go without a name, but it's better to be considerate and deliberate about the rebranding, because it's so critical. If it's done wrong, it's a lost opportunity. And if it's done right, as the San Jose Sharks example illustrates from the 1990s, their jersey sales accounted for a quarter of all the NHL jersey sales at one time. So I think this is an important pivot point in the history of the Washington franchise, and to rush into a new name seems a little misguided, although they will have to drop the Redskins name before the beginning of the season. There's just no two ways about it. And I would say this goes back to more than just the social reckoning. It really illustrates the power of social media and the irrefutability of videotape. Without this videotape of George Floyd, none of this becomes possible. It all gets swept under the rug like it had been historically for the last, 20, 30 years. And as the NFL community knows full well, the power of a videotape, really resonates in a way that, that just normal protests and anecdotal evidence simply cannot match. Ray Rice is a perfect example of that. The NFL punished him. And then when the videotape of him dragging his wife through the elevator was released, it changed the whole dynamic. And I think the George Floyd video has changed the entire dynamic in race relations across the United States. And the Washington Redskins are being swept up in that. And it's about time.
Daniel, obviously the NFL has kind of, improved the way that the league is viewed. We know that Roger Goodell came out and apologized and said, we need to be better. We need to stick up for the Black Lives Matter movement. And now changing the name of the Washington football team is another step in that direction. Why did you think it took the NFL so long to be just so socially aware when the NBA has been the leader in all four major sports on social issues?
That's true. I think a lot of the NFL's position stems from the fealty that many of the owners feel towards the current presidential administration. They don't want to rock the boat. And quite frankly, in stark contrast to the NBA, the NFL has always been behind on social issues. The kneeling for the national anthem, any kind of social protest has been met with either ambivalence or I would say outright hostility when you consider the job actions that have been taken against players like Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reed, two of the better players at their respective positions, yet they are not playing for an NFL team. So for all the good that Roger Goodell, is trying to bring to the situation today, I'll believe it when I see some real meaningful action, such as Eric Reed, Colin Kaepernick being given meaningful opportunities again. And it really does, I really want to see what the NFL is going to do to put action behind those what seem like sincere words. But the NFL's actions over the last 20 years speak for themselves. I'd like to see what the change is going to look like.
Daniel Wallach is our guest. You're listening to Lead Off with Joey Vendetta and George Russick, 8:13 on this Tuesday, July the 7th. And Daniel, two out of the four pro sports leagues have now extended their labor deals during this pandemic. Why is that? And do we see any of the other leagues try to do this? Because as George and I have discussed this morning on the Mahomes deal, I won't say the deal is surprising. I will say that the timing is a little bit surprising because we don't know what the future holds. I mean, they're banking on Mahomes being a franchise quarterback for the next 10 years. That goes without saying. But it's an odd time to try and assess value because we don't know how, never mind just the protocols and the actual pandemic, but consumer behavior coming out of this is something that is going to be very difficult to put any kind of parameters on. It's going to be hard to figure out what consumer spending is going to like. Somebody who has season tickets for the Kansas City Chiefs, for example, sure, they're excited today, but they may not have a job and may not be able to afford their season tickets. And I'm just wondering what you see in this situation that was the impetus for these leagues to redo their deals.
I think the impetus was more for the players. There might have been some anxiety over, how dramatically the economic situation in their leagues could change. If you look at the NHL deal and the NFL deal, two things stand out. The salary cap is going to remain flat. These are not improvements or enhancements for the players. They are sort of, maintaining the status quo as much as possible. And I think over a longer time horizon, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, the fans are going to come back. The economics of the game will be restored and will always grow. I don't see sports as taking a major step back over a long period of time. Of course, for the next year or two, it's a major question mark whether we're going to have fans and how consumer spending is going to impact the sports industry. But 5 years out, sports is always going to continue to grow in popularity, particularly with the advent of legalized sports betting, which will just drive even more fan engagement. So I'm of the view that the players were probably not in the best bargaining position as they normally might be upon the normal expiration of a CBA. I think if you take the pandemic out of the equation, the players wouldn't come anywhere close to signing a deal like they did in the NFL and the NHL. It is not a good deal for the players, but it provides cost certainty for the owners, and it really prevents, from the players' perspective, an almost worst-case scenario in case some of these fears are realized about how the sports will become affected by the pandemic. But I think if you're going to react to current events like that and then lock yourself in for 5 years or 10 years, I think you're doing your constituency a major disservice because that deal will soon look very bad from the players' perspective in both the NFL and the NHL within a couple of years.